trust everyone's week went well. Maybe you had to exercise a little bit of patience. I think it's good for us to do so. You know, this is an important topic today, even being listed as parts of the fruits of the Spirit. Patience, also translated as long-suffering, indicates a patient endurance of pain or unhappiness. That is a deeper understanding than just saying someone has or someone is patient. We can wait for a bus, taxi, or rickshaw, depending on what part of the world you're in. And it's no big deal, but our patience can be tested when we're waiting for traffic that's not moving at all. In fact, hasn't been for the last couple hours because of some accident. The frustration of it can be compounded if we know it's going to cause us to be late for work, or worse yet, you know, missing an international flight in which you paid good money for and you know that there's no refund for that flight once lost. So it can be quite stressful and disheartening. Some people handle situations like that better than others. We should be able to handle situations like that better than others because of the Spirit within us. In many places, the Greek word for patience is macrothemia. Kind of sounds like a disease. I've got macrothemia, which sounds like a disease. But macros means long, and thumos means anger. Together, macrothemia, according to the grammar, means slow to anger. In Hebrew, its equivalent is actually found in two separate words, af, spelled A-P, but af with an H, and erek, E-R-E-K, with af having a meaning of long face and nose, basically a figurative, a stable, neutral look, not one that's angry or one that's happy, while erek has the meaning of long suffering before getting angry, in other words, slow to anger. Joel 2, 12 through 13. Yet even now, declares Yahweh, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to Yahweh, your Elohim, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger. The scriptures translates that as patience, or patient. Abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil. And this is something that we will want to exercise in our lives because it is the opposite of the works of the flesh, such as outbursts of anger mentioned in Galatians 5 and verse 20, just prior to the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in that same chapter. Prior to baptism, you know, we have to count the costs, and we had someone that just contacted us recently about baptism, and he expressed that, you know, he struggles, but he believes that the Spirit will help him to overcome. Well, there's some truth to that, but I reminded him of what Peter said in Acts 5:32, in that, you know, I'm just assuming, and I may not want to assume too much, but essentially, you know, when someone's struggling with something before baptism, it's usually some sort of sin. But in Acts 5:32, it says, the Spirit is given by Yahweh to those who obey him. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's essentially the idea. We are to be obedient prior to receiving the Spirit. We are to stop sinning prior to being baptized. The following tells us we better think before we act. Luke 14, 27 through 33. And whoever does not bear his stake and come after me is unable to be my taught one. For who of you, wishing to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is unable to finish it, all who see it begin to mock and saying, you know, this man began to build and was unable to finish. Or what sovereign, going out against another sovereign, does not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So then every one of you who does not give up all that he has is unable to be my taught one. So counting the cost, giving up everything, not just possessions, but old habits and any sins that so easily entangle mankind into slavery. And it's pretty easy to bring up the old man, but you know, baptism symbolizes a burial of the old person. And so we want to not resurrect that person because that just opens up problems for us in the future. But counting the cost, giving up everything. Considering what is said in Luke 14:27 through 33, we can see a deeper meaning in the following from Luke 6:47 through 49. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man whose house is built on the ground without any foundation, and a torrent burst against it and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. You can see some of that happening in California right now with the torrential rains and floodings that are occurring. They just have one bad thing after another happen to them, it seems like. I wonder if there's a reason for that. Well, when we count the cost, we move forward doing what we're told to do. We have a foundation. That house cannot easily be moved. And of course, the foundation for us is the Word and the Messiah. Alternatively, if we don't do as we're told, then we will have no foundation and the house won't stand. And we know the Savior's words were in line with his Father's words, since a house divided against itself will not stand, as mentioned in Mark 3 and verse 25. Besides giving the man wanting to be baptized the above scriptures to consider and act upon, I also let him know that Yahweh's Spirit is already at work with him in the sense of opening up his mind to the truth. But we'll need to choose, as in choose life, because we're given free will. It says in Acts 2 and verse 40, and Peter told the people to be baptized in Yahshua's name. Acts 2 and verse 40, and with many words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. He had some feelings, I think, behind what he was saying. He was compelling them, striving to get them to act appropriately. And those that could receive the message, there were 3,000 of them, were baptized in the only name under heaven in which we can be saved. And afterwards, they were to be patient, which is what we all need to have as well in our lives. James 5, 7 through 8. James speaking, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Master. The former waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until he gets the early and late rains. You too be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Master is near. This relates to the prophecy of Joel 2:23 and also verse 28, which describes an outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit yet ahead of us. James is saying to be patient and wait for all that Yahweh has in store for his people, a change to come that will astonish mankind. In the parable of the seed and sower, we find those who do well and dwell in patience and bringing forth fruit. Luke 8 and verse 15. But that on the ground, or on the good ground, they are, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And this is a different Greek word used called hupomone, meaning the power to withstand hardship and stress and putting up with things or circumstances. Some scholars have noted the other word has more of a tendency to mean, with others, having patience with others. And this word hupomone, I think, has a bit of a meaning of hope in it. Romans 2, verse 7. certainly in producing fruit, we do that with patience and with hope. Romans 2 and verse 7, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. So being patient and doing good is not without its rewards, though it should be reward enough knowing we are doing the right things, and this is just our reasonable service. Romans 8 and verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And as we know, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We read of that in 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Our circumstances may not always be the best, but with Yahweh helping us in the background, we can trust that there will be a good outcome. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8, or 7 verse 8 says, the end of the matter is better than its beginning. And speaking of patience, it also says patience of spirit is better than the haughtiness of spirit. The spirit can be translated as attitudes. We might ask ourselves, does our attitude express the spirit within? And I would say that spirit within is with a capital S. Again, thinking back to the fruits of the spirit. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Be still, therefore, before Yahweh, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out wicked schemes. See, Yahweh tells us the end from the beginning. So, you know, we read of that in Isaiah 46 and verse 10. So we know that the end of those who hate him as well, as we also know the end for those who love him. Some people will succeed in short term, endeavors with their nonsense, but we are in this for the long term. It is the end result that will matter the most. It's the long game which counts. Lamentations 3 and verse 26, it is good for a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of Yahweh. Are we waiting patiently for the master to return? Are we making a bunch of noise, being like clanging cymbals? I hope we're all waiting patiently, helping and serving where we can, thinking about what will happen in the end, not just what is happening now, and being giving rather than wanting to take. We all have our needs. Yahweh provides. You know, it's interesting with his name, there's a lot of attributes that are attached to it. Someone was mentioning that his name means eternal. Well, yes, that's true. He's been referred to as eternal. You know, he is, he was, he will be. But his name also is attached with attributes such as healing and providing and, you know, being who we need of him to be. It's interesting, in the Japanese culture, they also have something similar. They'll have the individual's name, but then they'll attach attributes to the name. So it's something that we do find elsewhere besides in the Hebrew. Hebrews 10 and verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of Elohim, you may receive what was promised. This walk is not without difficulties. There are no words that can express some of the hardship we endure. But it's for a purpose of building character, preparing us to rule in the future with the King of Kings. We are the privileged few to have this opportunity for the 1,000-year rule in the kingdom. Matthew 7, verse 14. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The word narrow is literally pressed. That's the meaning, as the Greek word thlebo renders it. It can also be translated as afflicted or hard-pressed. Paul said that it is through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of Yahweh, Acts 14, 22. His teachings agree with the Messiah's teachings, and they both know a thing or two about tribulation and difficulties, and also about patience. Let's look at Paul, what he wrote. 2 Corinthians 6:3-7. These are, I'm going to go over some that have expressed this patience. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of Elohim, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses and beatings, in imprisonment and tumults, in labors and sleeplessness and hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of Elohim, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. Notice the first thing here. Paul is saying not to give offense in anything so that the ministry is not discredited. Does this mean that offenses won't come? Not at all. But we are warned not to be a part of those offenses or in giving offense. That is, doing those things which are not light. You know, the light within us needs to be exercised and maintained to be seen by men, not resurrecting the old man and letting the flesh be known to everyone. But Paul learned this from the Messiah, having pleaded with him to take away the thorn in his flesh. But Yahshua told him that the power would be perfected in weakness. Paul rejoices in hearing this, knowing that the power is being perfected in, or the power being perfected is of the Messiah, Yahshua, so of the Spirit. Paul was able to say about 5 years later in Philippians 4:11 that he had learned to be content in any situation. So when it says we have need of endurance, it's saying that, you know, we have to practice these things. We have to grow. We have to learn. So Paul is speaking from experience when it comes to afflictions, hardships, and distress, but he is not the only one with experience of being hard-pressed and patiently enduring. He even speaks plainly to Timothy, who followed the teachings and was learning from Paul's experiences and how he recovered from the trials he suffered as he was explaining these things. 2 Timothy 3:10-11. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, and purpose, faith, patience, there's that macrothumia, love, perseverance, hupopone is used there, persecutions and suffering such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Master rescued me. We are blessed to witness recovery from difficulties, and we rejoice with brethren when they are blessed. Paul said this himself in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Paul says while in prison, Ephesians 4:1-3, therefore I, the prisoner of the Master, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul, while he went through a lot, is not the only one that went through difficulties and had to have patience in dealing with those things. James 5, in verse 11, we have mentioned Job. Behold, we consider blessed those who have endured. You have heard the patient endurance of Job. And you saw the outcome from Yahweh, that Yahweh is compassionate and merciful. And what was Job's attitude like after losing the great loss of his children? I mean, I can't imagine what that would be like. Job's response found in Job 1:21-22. He said, naked I have come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. Yahweh gave and Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame Elohim. You know, thankfully, Yahweh doesn't give us more than we can handle. But that was quite a blow to Job and his wife, who later suggested he curse Yahweh. Good thing he was the head of the household and not her. The outcome may have been a little bit differently. Did Job learn anything from going through what he went through? Absolutely. Having been questioned by Yahweh, he learned that he may have been a little self-righteous. He also learned, as James pointed out, that Yahweh is compassionate and merciful. Job 42, verses 5 through 6. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And after this, and after Job prayed for his friends, interestingly enough, is when the blessings came. Yahweh gave him double what he had before, and Yahweh blessed him more in the end of his days than in the beginning. Yahweh is good. We remember Joseph. Joseph was given dreams from Yahweh foretelling his own future, that of his family. But when he told his brothers that they were going to bow down to him, that's how they understood it, and it's true, they ended up wanting to kill him for it. Eventually, he ended up being sold as a slave. He lived and prospered for a time, we read in Genesis 39, at the beginning there, but then found himself thrown in jail unjustly for doing what was right. I mean, he did what was right, and he was thrown into jail. And not just for a little while, for years. What was Yahweh's attitude towards Joseph for enduring this? 1 Peter 2, 19 through 20. For Elohim is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, Elohim is pleased with you. And after Joseph's jail time, he was again blessed many times more this time. Genesis 41, 39 through 44, you read of that. But in all of this, Joseph's character was blameless as he patiently endured the hardship. He was not willing to sin against Yahweh, even giving him honor before Pharaoh. Joseph said that Elohim is the one who has told Pharaoh what is to take place. In addition, Joseph was unwilling to seek revenge against his brothers, but rather help them to settle in the best of the land. Joseph's character was flawless. We don't find any bad character there. There's, of course, Abraham, Hebrews 6, 13 through 15. For when Elohim made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. Again, another outcome that was better in the end than in the beginning. He saw Isaac marry, and the blessings that would come from the promise of Yahweh through Isaac and Jacob, his grandson. Besides this, there was an even greater blessing to come and is to come ahead of us, with the city and its foundation being built by Yahweh, an eternal kingdom. But his life was not without trials, and neither will our life be without trials. He was tested even with Isaac when Yahweh told him to sacrifice the son he loved, certainly a figurative image of Yahshua's sacrifice. Abraham, recognizing that Yahweh could provide, patiently moved forward to do what Yahweh had said to do, and Abraham was blessed. How was he blessed? We see it today. Genesis 22, 16 through 18. This is what Yahweh says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. Now, it wasn't his only son. He had Ishmael as well, but this was the son he loved. I will multiply your descendants, I should say loved the most. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars and the sky and the sand and the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Now, we really haven't seen the fulfillment of this completely. We've seen the sands of the sea, I mean the physical people, but we have yet to see the stars of heaven in the sense of the spiritual people. And we hope to be just the beginning of that plan that Yahweh has for his people. And the idea of having patience and going through difficulties and having these examples for us is so that we can endure, so that we can keep our focus on what's ahead, not so much on what's here now. Because sometimes what's here now is trouble. And we don't want to focus on that so much as we do what is for what's coming. That is beyond our comprehension to a certain extent, but it's good to focus on what's to come, not so much what is here. There's Jacob. Jacob ended up working for Laban, Rebekah's brother. Find that in Genesis 24, verse 29. And he had two daughters named Rachel and Leah. Jacob, as we recall, loved Rachel, but Laban manipulated the situation so that Leah was given to Jacob first, and afterwards Rachel was given to him in marriage, all of which cost Jacob 14 years of labor to Laban. Jacob patiently endured for years. So when we talk about patience, we are talking about years sometimes, even decades, though sometimes it's just for a night or a day. For example, Jacob found himself wrestling one night with the angel of Yahweh. He wouldn't give up until he was blessed, and indeed he was blessed. Genesis 35, 10 through 15. And Elohim said to him, "Your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. And Elohim said to him, "I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your body, your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you." Then Elohim went up from him in the place where he had spoken to him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the name of that place where Elohim had spoken to him, Bethel, house of El. Who is the angel of Yahweh? We understand it was a pre-existent Savior. But do we see a pattern? If we don't give up and patiently endure, that we'll be blessed in the end. I think that is the pattern we are seeing with all of these examples. The greatest of these is the Messiah's example. Yahshua received stripes, insults, and ultimately death. Abraham, Joseph, Job, Paul, Yahshua, and others show us that we are not alone in suffering and in trials that will test the very fabric of who we are. Matthew 27, 27 through 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Yahshua into the governor's residence and gathered the whole cohort to him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet military cloak around him. And weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling down before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spat on him and took the reed and repeatedly struck him on his head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the military coat and put on his clothes and led him away in order to impale him. Are we willing to drink that cup that he drank? Willing to lay down our lives for the brethren like he did? We have to give up everything as he was willing to do. Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. Fixing our eyes on Yahshua, speaking of looking towards the future and looking forward to a time in which everything's going to be corrected. Fixing our eyes on Yahshua, the originator and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, disregarding the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. For consider the one who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary in your souls and give up. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood as you struggle against sin. And that really ultimately is our struggle against the flesh, against sin, against the wickedness and power and prince of the air, Satan, who's in this world ruling it and is causing a lot of problems and has since the very, the beginning of when he convinced Adam and Eve to sin. But Yahshua certainly had Yahweh's Spirit to help, and that is the good news, because we have it as well in part. But his words are a testimony to us. Expect trials. They will come. 1 Peter 4:12 through 13. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Messiah in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. A great day is ahead of us after the tribulation, a day of redemption. Paul expressed what we do in part as well when it comes to our Savior. 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 through 16. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Messiah Yahshua came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Yahshua Messiah might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Yahshua had perfect patience, and we are to follow in his footsteps. Even prophets before him who spoke about him had to have patience themselves. James 5 in verse 10, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of Yahweh. Just a quick side note, how many of Yahweh's prophets knew Yahweh's name? All of them. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Hosea, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. A number of them had Yahweh's name even within their own names. New Testament writers as well. Now, another question, how many had patience? Answer, all of them, to a certain point. Some displayed this more than others. Jonah didn't do so well when he was told to go to Nineveh. Jeremiah, also known as the weeping prophet, wanted to die and curse the day he was born. You read of that in Jeremiah 20, verse 14. Imagine that, a prophet of Yahweh, direct communication with Yahweh, and you curse the day that you were born? I mean, that's going through some difficulty. Yeah, and Job did the same thing as well. So not the best example of patience, but other examples were very good. And we'll take just a look at one here with Daniel. Daniel was in Babylon and refused to bow down to the golden image that was set up. Rather, he bowed down to Yahweh three times a day, as he had previously done. He patiently endured being thrown into a lion's den for a night, and he was saved out of it. The following declaration was given by King Darius, Daniel 6, verses 26 through 28. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before Elohim of Daniel, for he is the living Elohim and enduring forever. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues, performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Do you think that there will be some that come through the kingdom and will say something similar? You know, having lived through the tribulation and yet seeing Yahshua return and seeing his glory and coming to an understanding of what has happened, why it has happened, I think there's going to be a lot of people saying, you know, Yahweh is the living Elohim. But again, the outcome in the end was good, because Daniel stayed focused and kept his composure during difficult times. He patiently endured. And just as a side note, Satan is described as a roaring lion going out and seeking whom he may devour. But we are to be like Daniel, who is noted as faithful to Yahweh and who put his complete trust in him. We are also to resist Satan in like manner. We need to be patient unto life. What I mean by that is unto eternal life. Hebrews 6, 12, or 10 through 12. For Elohim is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have demonstrated for his name, by having served the saints and continuing to serve them, and as we desire each one of you to demonstrate the same diligence for the full assurance of your hope until the end, in order that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who inherit the promises through faith and patience. We have some time yet before the kingdom, the return of Yahshua. So how are we to be spending that time? Are we spending it wisely? I trust we are, but it will be more difficult with lawlessness increasing in the world. Matthew 24, 12 through 14. Because lawlessness has increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This evangel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. You know, we continue to preach the word, even while most ignore it. It stands as a witness to the nations. Notice it says, the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. It will get worse than what we see today for true believers, but we will endure, I trust. Luke 21, 16 through 19. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Again, through patient endurance, we will gain our lives. The way to have perfect patience, which Yahshua had, is to fully rely on Yahweh and to trust him with all of our heart. Last scripture, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. Trust in Yahweh with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and turn away from evil. May the peace that passes all understanding be with all of us. Hallelujah.